stand up this morning. Turn around and shake hands with folk. Tell them you're glad they come to church with you today. And then I'm going to bring you a message this morning. Let's to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. The Lord has redirected our heart and trying to stay over in this book. A few more sermons. Book of Joshua chapter 6. One verse this morning, Joshua chapter number 6 and verse number 27. I love my Bible today. If you love your Bible, say amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Let's don't be a dead church. Now, a live church is a live church. Let's don't be dead about stuff. Amen. And enjoy what you do. Jesus taught us everything we do, do it for the honor and the glory of God. So the book of Joshua, chapter number 6 this morning, found verse number 27. Joshua 6, 27. When you're there, tell me amen. Amen. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was known throughout all of the country. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. I want to thank you for this time together today. Thank you, Lord, for a good place, as Brother Joe's already prayed. Thank you, Lord, for a place we can come to church in the country. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on this place. Now, God, these that have soon to spring forward in life, God, out of their schools, I pray that you'd protect them. Give them direction, and God, give them vision. Give them protection for their lives. And then, Lord, I want to pray for this couple that will be married here this weekend. I pray, Lord, you'd lead them and you'd protect their home and guide them. And God, these new ones here this morning, I pray when it would be time, you'd deal with their young hearts. Save them by your amazing grace and your hand of mercy. Help us now in the preaching time today. I can't do this by myself. And I need you to help me. Help me, God, with the flesh. Help me with the spirit. Help me with my mind this morning. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for what you're doing for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, Joshua 6:27, the Bible said the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, this word Joshua is our same Hebrew word found in the New Testament as Jesus. I'm glad that we have not only a Joshua to read about, but I'm glad we've got a Jesus that we can find out about. Now, Jesus is real. And the Bible said that it was noised abroad all out in the country. I'm not sure that the big city wants to hear the news, but I'm telling you this morning, there's some folks in the country that still loves Joshua. Amen. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so full of compassion and mercy. I've met a lot of good people in this life, but I've never, ever met anybody like Jesus. I've never had anybody to love me like Jesus. I've never had nobody to receive me like Jesus. And I love Him and I praise Him. Now, this little phrase sort of stood up in my heart, and I began to think, now, Lord, in Joshua 6, it says that Joshua was noised abroad. In other words, they lifted up their voice, and he had sort of a sermon that was talking. I wonder what they told about him. Wonder what they said about Joshua, that his fame, it was noised about in all the country. Well, I want to turn over this morning, let preaching be easy, and try to let it be short. Amen. And I doubt it'll be very short, but it will be reasonable. But in Joshua, I like to say, first of all, this word went out. It was noised about. This word went out. Number one, there's a bridge that is reliable. There's a bridge that is reliable. Now, you'll notice in Joshua 1 and verses 1 and 2, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now you'll notice he said, I would love for you to go over Jordan. Moses has died, the great servant of the Lord. There's never been anybody like Moses. Moses was more than a prophet. Matter of fact, Moses had a brother named Aaron, had a sister named Miriam. Moses married a lady, came back to the congregation, and they all got upset. I don't know what was wrong with this lady, but the people didn't like it. But Moses must have liked her. Somebody say amen right there. And so they began to talk about the man of God, and God struck Miriam with leprosy. And this is what God said. He said, I want you to know who you're talking about. He said, he's not a prophet because they dream dreams and have visions and I talk to them in dark places. But here Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Said, Moses don't get his sermons on second-handed. I tell Moses exactly what to do and what to say. And because you put your mouth on him, I've turned you into a leper. And God, by his amazing mercy and grace, Moses talked to him and he allowed Miriam to be whole. Now, I said all that to say this. There was never a man like Moses. God used him in a great way. Moses was a giver of the law. You remember that? He went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And there's little Joshua went up to the mountain. Moses said, hold my horse. I'll be back down after a while. When he come back down, there was Joshua. They went back to the camp. And there together they presented the law that God had given Moses. Now all of a sudden Moses has died. Moses was a representative of the law. In Deuteronomy chapter number 32, you'll notice that there Moses died at 120 years old. The Bible said his eye was not dim, nor his flesh was abated. In other words, he was a healthy and a whole man at 120 years old. But he told Moses, he said, now listen, before you go in the promised land, I want you to lead a people. And he said, the people are crying for thirst. He told Moses to speak to that rock. But Moses disobeyed God, and he struck the rock twice. God said, because you've not obeyed me, you'll not go into the promised land. But Moses died, and all of a sudden now the Bible says in Joshua 1 and verse number 2, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. I'm glad, honey, there is a bridge that is reliable this morning. I'm glad they raised up our heavenly Joshua. The Bible said that truth and grace came by the Lord Jesus Christ. That Bible said that law is our schoolmaster, taking us unto Christ. What are you saying? Moses took them as far as he could take them in the law. Hey, I'm glad he rose up with Joshua. Bible said that the representative of the law, he was buried down in the valley of Moab. God hid him. God buried the law. I've noticed this about people. They're always, oh, ho, ho. I don't know if I get to point six or not this morning. I'm always reminded of how people love to put the law on everybody. I'll remind you this morning, God buried the representative of that law. Aren't you glad that what the law could not do? Grace and truth did much more. The law cannot save you. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect and it's holy. The matter of the problem is it's us. There's none good. No, not one. So many times I've been let down and took backslides because I live by the law. But honey, I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God that passes all understanding. I want to say this to our church. I seen it out of preaching another week. I said, I'm coming back and I'm telling my people what I found in that Bible. According to the book of Jude, it's about verse number 5, 6, or 7. The Bible said that when Moses died, God hit him and the devil tried to dig him up and Michael the archangel fought with him over the body of Moses. You're no whole. Listen to me now. We're no more like the devil when we want to dig that law up and put on somebody. Whoa. Hey, we better be hunting the grace of God. We don't need the law to help people. Law kills people. When somebody does wrong and when your children goes by the wayside, you better be careful. Don't point your finger at a family. Say, my children won't do that.
they'll be the first ones to do that. I believe in living right and doing right and doing the best I can. And honey, the law is a guide. It'll keep me over in the highway. But it'll run you in the ditch too if you get right in it. Amen. Do this, do that. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that the grace of God will take you over in the promised land. I know a lot of people in churches that when their children mess up or their husband or wife mess up, they get to digging the law up. God buried it. Why are you trying to dig it up and put it on somebody? The law's just going to bring death. God buried him, a representative of the law. God buried it. But I sure am glad he had something a lot better for me. That was Jesus. Am I okay this morning? Am I all right this morning? Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not condoning sin. I'm not saying to go out and live a lifestyle of sin. You keep on playing with sin, sin will soon be playing you. Sin will take you a lot further than you ever intended to go, and it'll make you pay more than you ever meant to pay. It'll keep you longer than you thought you'd ever stay. I've never played with sin yet that it didn't get the upper hand on me. I don't like sin. I want to stay away from sin because sin is fun for a season. But honey, sin is limited. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say through the law in the hand of Moses, but through the gift of the Lord Jesus. Is anybody listening to your preacher this morning? I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Thank God we can go by grace and go farther in the promised land by grace this morning.
Amen. Thank you.
The representative of that law, God said, I'm going to put it over there so you won't never find him. And the devil's over there trying to dig him up. God said, hey, Michael, the archangel, go deal with him. Don't let him dig Moses up. They'll worship Moses and quit worshiping me. Amen. There's a lot of people worshiping the law. Honey, I'm not worshiping by the law. Neither do I live by the law. You hear me? I live by the grace of God. There's no confusion in my life. I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that glorious day. What the law could not do because I could not live it. Listen to me this morning. Our church ought to be holy. It ought to be separated. It ought not become worldly. This ought to be a place that you can gather together and get charged for your battery. Amen. It'd be a good place for you to get forgiveness of your sin. But you hear me and hear me well. I'm here to build a church by the grace of God. And if you don't like the grace of God, yonder's the highway. We don't deal with the law this morning. It's the grace of God that passes all understanding. If it was left alone, we'd all be in hell this morning. You better go to learning to love on the unlovable, because it'll come to your house one day and you'll realize you can't live by the law and your youngins can't either. And I'm not preaching about it's okay to go get in sin. You know what it'll cost you. But it's the grace of God, honey. I tell you how full of grace Jesus is. Watch this. Book of Revelation, chapter number 3, the last Laodicean church age. Bible said we have need of nothing. Jesus said, I wish it's cold or hot because you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you. In other words, say some things that make God puke. That's what the Bible says. And it's this Laodicean church age, pharisaical. Don't need God. We're so blessed to raise our hands. We're just so blessed we don't even need to come to church no more. We say, honey, it's going to dawn on you one day. He's still in the blessing business. He withdraws His blessings. You ain't going to have nothing. But you watch this in that same passage. The church, it makes God sick. Makes Him upchuck. That's what the Bible says. I'll spew you out of my mouth if you neither cold nor hot. He said, I want people to know what side of the fence you're on. He said, I don't like fence straddlers. He said, you get both feet in that thing and you shout for the glory of God and let's go. And the same church that God was sick and tired of, there's His Son on the door knocking, wanting in. Ain't that just like our Jesus? Honey, I'm glad there's a Jesus that is full of mercy and compassion. You better be glad He sent His Son to die in your place and in my place. He took our stead. Now when God sees me, He don't see the law, the broken law, but He sees His bloody Son that hung on an old rugged cross. Thank God, hallelujah, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here this morning. I'm glad what the law could not do, Jesus did much more. Hallelujah. If it took me about another 800 milligram ibuprofen, my neck would be oiled up this morning. My words may be slurred, but my neck would be fixed. Amen. It was noised abroad. Noised abroad. The fame went out all through the country about Joshua. I believe they said, let me tell you, there's a bridge that is reliable. And then he said, I think maybe second thing I want to say about this noise abroad, there's a book that is rewarding. He said, Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong. Am I doing okay? Is anybody enjoying the preaching but me this morning? There's a book that's rewarding. He said, Joshua 1, verse 7, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or the left, and whatsoever thou doest may prosper. Young people, you want to prosper after you graduate? Let this book be the central thing in your life. And every decision you make ought to become about this book. I want to preach a message here for long about justification instead of crucification. We always want to justify what we're doing. We want to justify our flesh and our sins and what we do. We want to justify the way we react because of what the world's doing. But hey, let me tell you something. This book right here is going to stand when everything else is burning up. And there's no time to compromise or try to justify about how we feel or what we do. This Bible is the final authority. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe in the cover I got this morning. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad He's got it covered by God's amazing book. I want to say this. It was noised abroad. There's a bridge that's reliable, but there's a book that's rewarding. I want to say it's a truthful book. I want to say, secondly, it's a trustful book. You can trust what it says. And a lot of times I've noticed this, what God says, it takes a little while to work out. But it will always work out for His honor and glory and for your good. And this is what I can't get my mind around. There's some deep hurts happen to me right then. I can't see it's for my good. But I've got to trust God that it is good. It's a teaching book. I'm glad I go to church where the people here pretty much well know what this Bible says. And it would do you good to mark your Bible and take notes in it. Amen. It's a teaching book. It's a treasured book. It means a whole lot to God. Now I'm going to tell you what. This church has always been built on preaching. And the only way we're going to build that new wing is to keep on preaching. We can't compromise on the Word of God. We can't be mean in our delivery. And we don't use street talk here when we're preaching. But we stay in the Word of God. That's all we need to do. We need to love old sinners. Love mom and daddies and love their babies. Amen. Little Parker got up the other Sunday with his little guitar. I had no idea he was going to sing. He come up and I just about had me a Baptist fit on that gentleman on the doorstep. I said, Parker, why'd your mama bring that in here? I said, you'll get 9 beatings before I go home. Brother David called that little old curly head thing up there and he got to singing Victory and Lord, might I put that thing on Facebook? And I mean, it tore up the whole world. His little guitar. He has a keeping tune with it, too. Some of you probably didn't like that, but you ain't got grandbabies yet. You just hold on. I wish I'd had grandbabies first. My neck might not be hurting near as bad as it is today. I whooped them for everything. But it didn't hurt them none. Hurt me more than it did them. I'm crippled. We didn't take time out where I was raised or time out where I was raising. A bridge that's reliable. Jesus can get you over anything. I want to say this morning. It can get you over pains. Moses died. I've been able to get over some things only by Jesus. That only Jesus can get me across. It'll get you over some people in your life. Some of you staring at people. I heard a guy say something other Sunday. Well, I don't come to that church because I know who's sitting there. I want to say this morning. I'd rather go to church with hypocrites and let my family die and go to hell with hypocrites. Quit hunting a perfect church. You're not going to find one. You come here and get what you need for you and your family, and God will bless you for that. Quit looking around. Might do you good. Go to looking at you and see what your situation is. I want to say something right there. That vice is no more than me drinking or doping or whoremongering. It's a vice that the devil can use to get me out of church. And whatever it takes, the devil knows, and he's going to play there with it in your mind. I don't care if it's a family that sits there you don't like. Church big enough, swap sides. We just put a new wing out under and you can all stare at that door. And then you Alabama and get over there and you can stare toward Auburn and Georgia. You don't like that crowd. And then if you love everybody, come up there and you can preach with me on the mark. You can see it all. Hypocrites. That's a cop out. That ain't nothing but being lazy and sorry and leading your family to hell. I don't like that preacher. He raises his voice. Somebody needs to raise their voice at you. You crazy. I ain't going there because I'm a hypocrite. Well, where are you going to go? I doubt if anybody wants to put on the board what they've done, said, or thought all week. I wonder if anybody want to get up here and tell me and be truthful for God what you thought about all week. And you want to pull the law out and put on somebody. Well, I ain't going to church down there because so-and-so go. I'm glad God goes to church. My God in heaven. Somebody scoot over. I'm glad there's a cushion right here. I'm glad God goes to church here. I'm glad one family don't run this outfit. Thank God. I'm glad it's free parking down here. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's space here for God. I'm glad God's doing big things where I go to church at. Hallelujah. Some of y'all would work a whole lot better if you was ever the boss. And some of you would go to church a lot better if you was ever the preacher. I knew what I'd do if I was the preacher. Well, you ain't the preacher. I knew what I'd do. You little henpecked looking something, you wouldn't do nothing. Book that's rewarding. See, I'll tell you another thing. I'm going to stop right there. I got a lot more. Maybe I can use it another time. But I'll tell you something else about Joshua. Not only has he got a bridge that's remaining. Miss Emily, won't you come play for me? And I'm going to say something about our church. We about quit using our altars and they're going to close. And what you need to start doing is using the altar for your life and for your family and your lost people. Because I'm just get on this last point and I'm done. It was noised abroad about Joshua throughout all the country. I want to say I believe they'll tell everybody there's a bridge that's reliable. You ever been on a road and the bridge is out and you had to turn around? Not Jesus. He can always get you over whatever's coming. I don't care what's coming in your life. Jesus can get you over it. Not through it. Not around it, but Jesus can get you over it. I'm glad of some things He's got me over. Some pain, some people, some places. But also there's a book that's rewarding. This book right here, sitting on this desk, is the King James Bible. The only thing that comes in this church that's preached out of, or that's taught out of. We're going to stand on it till He comes back for us. because it's the right book and it's the only book in my opinion. And my opinion matters because I'm the preacher here. There's a bridge that's reliable. There's a book that's rewarding. But I want to say, thirdly this morning, there's a burden that's reaching. You know what Joshua did? Brother Joe, he sent two spies to Jericho to a harlot's house. Not just to a harlot's heart. There's a burden that's reaching. Oh, I'm glad he had a burden for me. Because I'm going to tell you what, some of y'all might not believe what I'm fixing to say, but the people that really knowed me didn't want to go to church with me. Because I was on the wrong track with the wrong crowd, about to give my wife a nervous breakdown, just about headed to divorce. But God. Yeah. 34 years ago this August, but God. Come to me at 20 year old. He's got a burden that's reaching. Said he sent spies. I'm glad old Brother Elmer Tayson come in my house. I'll never forget that old gravel rustling in the driveway. Some of y'all won't like this. You kids, don't you never get into it. Because I'm so blessed and I'm one of the big minorities that ever got out of it. There I was rolling up my weed, forgetting about all my trouble for 30 minutes. But when I got off my high, there was all my trouble. That old preacher come in. That little old couch, remember when they had the black and white TV, I raised that cushion up, and that weed I was rolling, I threw it down that cushion, laid it down. That old man of God come right in, sat right down on top of my devil. And this is what he said. He didn't bring the law out on me. He didn't look around. He didn't say, I smell pot. I bet it's liquor in the refrigerator. This is all he said. Ken, you've been saved. Boy, I found out what that old prophet meant then in the book of Isaiah. He said, when I laid down, he said, my bed got narrow. And my cover got short. I told Renee last night, I said, next year you better not take this electric blanket off this bed till June. I like sleeping warm. But that old man of God left out, Brother Tim, the greatest favor has ever been happened to me. God stayed. Convicted me of my sin and my life. And I'm going to tell you how far out I was. You know, when God reached out and got the harlot Rahab, it gave me hope. You might not be looking for people like that to come to your church, but God's looking for people like that to come to His. God is my witness. You asked her. God told her I was going to be called to preach before I was called to preach. She is stirring green beans on that little oven. God said, you're going to be a preacher's wife. She said, what you going to do with Ken? Yep. Yep. Gives me hope. I wish y'all knowed how much God's blessed my home and family. And I preach plain so you can understand it. And I try to stay real so to help you and your babies and your grandbabies. We don't need intellectual sermons. We need preachers preaching out of their heart. I come to tell you there's a Joshua that can save you and can do anything by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Come, whatever you need, gather around this altar this morning in your life. Maybe you want to thank Him for what He's done for. Would you come this morning, Miss Emily, please? You may be here lost and undone without His Son. He'd save you if you'd come by faith. You need to move around this church this morning. Ask God to do something again in your heart and in your soul. Has He done anything for you and your life and your family? It was noise abroad of the great things, His fame, throughout all the country of what He's done. It'd be a good morning just to gather around and say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the great things that You've done. It'd be a good morning to praise Him and ask Him to help you in your life. It'd be a good morning to say, Lord, thank you. It'd be a good morning to throw your religion outside and get a hold of Jesus. Let Him save you by His amazing grace, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, He's wonderful. And I love Him today. Whatever you need, there's no problem too big for Jesus. Your wife may have left you. Your husband may have left you. Let me tell you, this bridge can get you over that. Somebody may have died in your life and it's kept you there. Jesus is a bridge. It's so reliable. He can get you over of anything. Help us this morning.